You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, we want to welcome you to Panel Sunday. It's always a great time. Our theme this year came from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. As this year is quickly winding down, we've asked our panel to come in and let's discuss our theme one more time as a panel. When the Bible says you must, that's not a lot of ambiguity here. I mean, this is a pretty clear mandate. This is not an option for certain denominations that would call themselves holiness denominations. There is a lifestyle that is required. And the word must is used throughout the Bible when the Bible refers to holiness. The word must is used. Holiness is the lifestyle for the Christian. And the Bible couldn't be more clear on sin and on sinful behavior. It could not be more clear on a lifestyle that God blesses and on a lifestyle that is under the cursings of God. Proverbs has got a lot to say about sin and wickedness. There's clearly a godly lifestyle and there's clearly an ungodly lifestyle. Proverbs 13:6, godliness guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin. 14:34, godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. 15:9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. We want to get in today to what this lifestyle is all about. And today with me on our panel, Melissa Glenn, Kim Taylor, Josh Barnett, and this year we've been studying what the Bible says about holiness and doing all we can to bring a biblical understanding of what holiness is, because today's Christian is very confused on this issue. We're just very confused when the Christian talks about alternative lifestyles, when the Christian acts like you can make decisions that God has made for us. We've got some confusion here among Christians. Josh, start us off with this.
So in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he makes it real simple. In chapter 4, into chapter 4, going into chapter 5, he makes it pretty simple for him. He basically says, stop living like the Gentiles. Stop living like the unbeliever. He says their minds are full of darkness. They've hardened their hearts towards God. They live their life for their own lustful pleasures. But he says, but since you have heard about Jesus, you're not supposed to live that way anymore. And he begins to talk about taking off your old self and putting on your new self, almost like it's a change of clothes. Since we've met the Lord, since we've met Jesus, we now are a new creation. We now have a new self to put on, your new nature, created to be like God, holy and righteous. And then he makes it real simple, and he starts spelling it out for him, and he says, if you lie, stop lying, and start telling the truth. He says, if you're stealing, stop stealing, and use your hands for good to give to those in need. And I love how he starts going through here, and he doesn't just give them a don'ts, he gives them a do. I think many times we look at holiness as a don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but God is saying, okay, don't do these things, but do these things. He says, don't be angry. If you're angry, you give foothold to the devil. Don't use foul language. Let everything that you say be good, helpful, encouraging. Don't be greedy. Greed is idolatry of the world. And he says, actually, towards the end of chapter 4, that when we act like our old selves, that we grieve the Holy Spirit, that we bring sorrow to the heart of God. And so he makes it real clear that there's supposed to be a difference between Christians and non-Christians, between believers and unbelievers. Now, Paul understood that it was going to be a process, that there was going to be some sanctification, but we have a new nature. We have been saved from, but it doesn't automatically mean that we start acting that way right away. You know, when Paul was writing Ephesus, they were pretty evil people. They were a people who, that revival was taking place. You can read about it in the book of Acts, but revival's taking place in Ephesus, and these were a very evil, idolatrous people doing very shameful things. And he knew that you're not gonna know everything right away just because you surrender your life to the Lord. And so Paul knew there's this process to becoming right. a holy generation, but we are called to live holy. We are called to be set apart from the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not then just an optional lifestyle, like you said, but the word must. I have that. Philippians 1:27 says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner that is worthy of the good news about Christ Jesus. And so now it's no longer an option. You actually have changed citizenship. It's not just earth and what I want to do and what feels good to me or what I've been taught is all for me. But now I'm a new citizen. Like, the things that I thought were important are different because my life is now going to be
That's
worthy
good.
Of the gospel of
That's
Jesus Christ.
Good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in John 17:17, you know, in a prayer where Jesus is actually talking to the Father, he says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is
right.
truth. So, you know, how do you know what right and wrong mm-hmm. is? Well, you go back to the word and compare it to that. And you were talking about the good news. And, you know, in 18, it says, just as you sent me into the world, mm-hmm. I am sending them into the world. So, you know, we're actually commissioned to represent Jesus in mm-hmm. our everyday
That's
actions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kim, you brought up a point just backstage to me earlier about this week.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, as we are living a holy lifestyle, you know, we need to also expect that in other aspects of our life
right.
to be played out. You know, Tuesday is an election day, mm-hmm. and we as Christians, you know, pursuing a holy lifestyle also have to put in alignment people with our beliefs in our government.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as Christians not only have that opportunity, we have a responsibility to help
That's
pursue a holy
sure.
lifestyle
right.
in government just as well as in our day-to-day
life. And it's
life.
Foolish to think the church should not be involved politically.
Right,
we
right.
are involved in a godly lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In every, like you said, in every area. So I'm going to go to the poll and I will vote for those who most represent, not perfect people,
right.
but most represent biblical standards, mm-hmm. biblical lifestyles, biblical ways of thinking.
Right. So then if we're in the world, right, we're in the world, not of the world. So we're still called to make an influence wherever we're at. In Philippians, it says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So, of course, we're called to not only in our garden, we talked about, I think, a couple years ago, tending the garden. In our garden, our sphere of influence, yes, like shine bright, but also put into leadership those that will, and to call other people alongside of us. Paul, writing to the Philippians and writing to Ephesians and Galatians, these are people that he's calling into the alignment of pursuing Jesus Christ.
Hmm. That's so true. Josh, you were saying something to me earlier today about there was a time when you got saved,
mm-hmm.
you knew you were in sin. There was no question about
right.
it. You knew this had to go. But then as time went on in your walk with the
right.
Lord, and even still today,
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about that, what you were talking to me about.
No, for sure. Whenever I surrendered my life to the Lord, whenever I got saved, there were, I guess you could classify them as big sins.
Yeah.
There were things that I were doing that I obviously knew that were wrong. I obviously knew that I shouldn't be doing these things. And I think many times when we turn our lives over to the Lord, like those big things are easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
I realize, okay, I probably shouldn't be drinking. Probably shouldn't be doing drugs. Probably shouldn't be sleeping outside of marriage. Probably shouldn't be doing these major things that we classify as big sins.
Quit shooting people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't murder. Like those things. Yeah. Like I understood I wasn't supposed to do those major things. But through the process of growing my relationship with the Lord, through the process of maturity in Christ, God began to put his fingers on different things in my life. The Holy Spirit began to convict me of these little almost seemingly insignificant to what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like these little things. And I think it's good many times, even as we read in Ephesians what Paul is talking about, and looking at ourselves in the mirror first and saying, okay, maybe I'm not telling any big lies, but are there some little things
That's
that
really
I'm doing?
Good.
Maybe I am not cussing people out, but am I gossiping? Am I running
mm-hmm.
people down with my words? And so, but as I began to grow in the Lord, he began to show me those things and bring
mm-hmm.
to light, okay, I don't want you to do that anymore. I don't want you to
yeah.
give me that music that you listen to. Give me those shows that you watch. Give me those things.
Mm-hmm.
And this progressive sanctification process.
And every year you take another step. Every
right,
month
absolutely.
You're growing in the Lord. Kim, you were talking about being made holy, a scripture you had
yes.
earlier. You
yeah,
still have that?
I do. Hebrews 10 is just packed full of information about what we're talking about. The whole chapter is about the willpower to change and how it takes that willpower to do that. You know, and going back just a little bit to verse 9, it says, "Then I said, here I am. I have come to do your will." Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got to get to that point first where it is a decision of the heart that, yes, I want to change. Mm-hmm. And so that we can move on. And so then in 14 that you were talking about, Tim, is because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading this scripture, that word being, you know, have a high school English background, and when that verb just glared out at me when I was reading that, you know, it didn't say, and I checked several translations, it never said those who have been made holy.
Much
it always talked about mm-hmm. who are being made holy, mm-hmm. continuing yeah. that process, you know, mm-hmm. whether you are a baby in Christ or whether you, you know, have been in church all your life and have served the Lord faithfully for 20 years, every aspect of our life, we are being made holy. Mm-hmm.
And it is a process. Mm-hmm. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I think it's important for Christians to understand when we get saved, like Romans 5, we are justified. Right. God has declared us innocent. And so we have what is called positional holiness. Mm-hmm. And so now the righteousness of Christ has been imputed on my life. Like God sees me as righteous and I have positional holiness before him. But there's also this sanctification, this transformation that takes place. So I am saved, but I'm also being saved.
Yeah.
I am holy, but I'm also becoming holy. And I think mm-hmm. it's important for Christians to understand that yes, I have right standing with the Father, but there are these things where he's trying to make me more and more like his Son.
Mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to make light of the initial mm-hmm. salvation
for sure.
experience, because
right.
clearly that has yeah. to happen. That's
right.
the biggest thing in your whole mm-hmm. life. But it doesn't end there. The truth is,
right.
it only starts there.
Right. That's
what
the beginning. Right.
Well, so you were talking to me, and I can't remember exactly what you were saying, but you were talking about I'm not just not cheating, but go develop that a little bit with me as far as this progressive thing.
Yes, right. Absolutely. So if Jesus did come and he washed away my sins, then I choose not to cheat. But if his life is on the inside of me, that I want to have even better wherever I'm at. So, okay, so I'm not cheating in school. That's really good. But am I studying for the test?
That's great.
Like, am
yeah.
I showing good. Myself approved? You know, I may not be sleeping on the job. That's good. But am I making that place and environment that is a blessing to my boss and to the Lord ultimately?
Good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You have a lot of examples. You're not cheating on your wife, or what were you saying?
You may not be cheating on your wife or your husband, but are you pursuing them? Is what you're doing right now entering into a greater dimension of the Lord? Because he's actually, holiness is an invitation to come into greater places of the Lord's presence and opportunities that he gives us in a practical way. You had a good scripture verse on just the practical invitation into holiness.
And I'll come back to that in just a second. Okay. But while I'm thinking about it real quickly, you know, an example.
Melissa, excuse me. You won't understand this, but us old people, while it's on
yes,
our mind, we
got
to talk about it
say,
right then.
Yes.
So,
yes,
you and Josh will understand this later. Kim and I are on the same page. I got this on my mind.
I have that scripture written down, but let me give you this thought while it's still here. So, you know, an example of what you're talking about, of continuing to pursue that, you know, that comes to mind right off to me, is when my son was learning mm-hmm. to play the piano. He didn't know really what a true gift he had.
Right.
You know, but a desire was put into his heart to play the piano. Well, so after he, you know, played a few keys, you know, he advanced and pursued more help with that. He got some lessons, and then he could play some chords, and then he could play a whole song, and then he could, you know, do a whole Christmas ministry program,
wow.
you know, on the
mm-hmm.
keyboard. So, you know, he advanced in that,
That's
but
right.
it was not just because that gift developed by itself. It was because he nurtured that.
Right.
He matured in that over years and years, and was able to produce the fruit of that, where at the same time, you know, if he doesn't practice and if he doesn't continue pursuing that, he gets a little rusty, hits a wrong key here and there. And so, you know, we have the gift of salvation,
right.
the gift of a holy life, but if we don't pursue that and nurture that and mature that by making those
analogy.
Decisions,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we're not allowing ourselves to develop into all he's got for us.
Josh, I'm going to turn it back to you about what you were talking about, grace. But before I do, Kim, you never got mad at him when he was first learning to play the piano because he hit the wrong note.
Well, got a little loud sometimes.
Got a little loud.
No.
What a great analogy.
You're right.
You had grace. Yeah. And Josh, you were talking about grace earlier, but Kim had grace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't hit every note perfect.
Patience.
But he was learning and progressing.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. It's the same as raising your kids. Judah is my 3-year-old right now, and I don't spank him when he falls down. He's 3.
Right.
And so be sure that, tie your shoes, make sure they're on the right feet, don't run in the rocks. I don't get mad at him because he's not good at walking as I am.
Yeah.
And so there's a process, but we also have to understand that God's grace, as amazing it is, as scandalous it is, it's not a license to sin. It's not now. Okay, now that, and Paul says that in Romans 6. Okay, now that we have this great grace, do we continue sinning? He says, absolutely not.
Yeah,
we're not supposed to continue. Grace isn't a license to sin. God's grace is actually He gives us power through His grace to overcome our sin, to walk in freedom our sin. Because when we see how good His grace is, it makes me hate my old nature. It makes me hate the things that I used to fall into. And so we've got to understand, we don't abuse this great grace. We allow that grace to cause us to draw us to his goodness of his grace draws us to him, and he gives us the power to overcome.
Well, but that's such a good understanding of grace. And Melissa, I'll turn it to you in just a second, but I want to talk a few minutes first. I'm just going over in my mind. People think God's mad at them because they messed up. Mm-hmm. You're not mad at your son for falling.
Mm-hmm.
You give him grace because he fell. But you do expect him at some point to stand up on his feet and walk.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I mean, now I'm giving you grace, but that grace is to enable, now whenever you're 10 and 15, I don't expect you flopping and falling around on the gravel.
Right.
Pick your feet up, son.
Right.
Come on now. So that's an analogy of God's grace with us, with the expectancy, now I'm not going to put up with this forever.
Right.
Absolutely. I love it because Mary, when Jesus was talking about, when you talk about the gospel, when you hear about the gospel, you're always going to hear this story in Mark where Mary came to Jesus, to his feet. She had a dirty lifestyle. She had lived in sin, and she poured out her life before him. She washed his feet with this fragrance that came up, washed him with her tears and hair. And Jesus said, this is what's going to be preached, because he who's been forgiven much loves much. And in the midst of my frustration, I'm not intending to sin. I'm not trying to go out of my way to sin. Mm-hmm. But when I sin and I mess up and I look at Jesus and I go, I don't know, I've done this again. I don't know how you can forgive me. And he meets me every single time with love and forgiveness. That makes me want to, like you said, run away from my sin and run to the Lord. And with that, Philippians 1:20 says, for I fully expect, Paul is saying, I am completely confident and I have hope that I will never be ashamed, but I'll continue to be bold about Christ as I have been in the past, so that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. And that word there is, that phrase in Greek would be to fully expect and hope, is someone who set their eye on a prize and their focus is almost strained because they're reaching out to obtain something. So even though I understand there's grace if I mess up, that the Lord gives me freedom to walk into that, but still there's an expectation that my life, if I'm alive or I'm dead, I'm going to glorify and honor the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's great.
Yeah, Hebrews 10, the whole chapter is about, it's suggesting that change is required. And Tim, kind of what you wanted this panel to get across to our listeners is that you can't just live any way you want to and consider yourself being holy.
Right.
And, yes, there is grace, unending grace for your, for your message, but it also says that in 10:26, that if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, only the fear of judgment's left.
Mm-hmm.
And 29 tells us that continuing on is to trample the Son of God and insult the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's grace, but after we have been made aware of the truth and after we have been made aware of the lifestyle that we are expected to live, there's consequences there.
Yeah, there is. Read that verse 26 again. What?
If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, only the fear of judgment is left. I mess up all the time.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, you might have been about to say the same thing.
I mean, that's the point.
I'd mess up all the time, but it's not because I am deliberately, I'm not planning ahead to mess up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think that's the point that we often miss. The Christian is not holier than thou, saying I'm perfect and looking down our nose at everybody else. That's not what we're talking about. It's that deliberate thing.
Right.
Verse 26. That's an important scripture for us to get. It is at one point in your life. On Monday, you started making calls about Friday. You bring this, you bring that. We're going to meet at so-and-so's house. We'll park our cars over here. We'll get a ride over there so nobody will see my car at this hotel room. So, I mean, we planned all week for sinning. Now, once again, we mess up. What you're saying is I don't do everything perfect,
right.
But I sure don't want to anymore.
Right.
There's
yes.
been a lifestyle change, Josh.
First John, the Apostle John makes the same point of, if you're going to continue in your sin, then you're actually not a child of God. He actually says he makes it very blunt. He says you're a child of Satan.
Well, the Bible's hard to understand, isn't it?
if we're going to walk in light, then we are children of God. But if we continue deliberately walking in our sin, if we walk out the sinful lifestyle, he says that you're a child of Satan. Wait, he's not saying that we're not going to miss it. He's not saying that
right.
we're not going to mess up. He says, if you mess up, then we have Jesus. We have the great mediator. We have the one who is the propitiation for our sin, the one who will forgive us, who will stand in our place before the Father. But he's not saying when you sin. He's saying if you sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many Christians, like, when I sin, it's like that we're just planning on
messing
up.
Right. Yeah.
No, we're not planning on messing up. When we sin, it's an accident. Because when the Lord comes in and transforms our heart, when he makes us a new creation, there becomes this desire to obey.
Right.
We desire to obey him. We desire to become like him. And I will say that the Bible kind of seems like it kind of says that if you don't have a desire to obey, then you're not a Christian. Mm-hmm. I would say that you may not actually be saved if there is not a desire to obey.
Absolutely.
Or at least a want to obey.
Yeah, and Melissa, that's the heart change you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to what you were talking about. Go back over that quickly and then go on with us.
It says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. If you've seen Jesus Christ, you've encountered him, you understand that my sins, everything that I've done and will do is on the cross, and he took that. It makes it easier for me to take up my cross and follow him. Because he's not here saying, okay, I want you to go and you go do better. You know, but he's saying, come and follow me. Come look like me. And it's an invitation into a relationship. And because of that, I change the way I think. It's not this old nature anymore. And when those thoughts come to me, because they will, then I know that that's not who I am. So when that thought comes to my mind, it goes, oh, that's not me. That's not my thought. Instead of letting it sink in and go ahead and acting on that thought, it'll come. That, you know, annoying thought will come or that lustful thought will come. But you go, I'm a child of God. I have the mind of Christ. That's not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and begin to change, even practically change in that moment what you're thinking.
Well, that's the key. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with the wickedness? Mm-hmm. There is two different lifestyles, and that's what we're talking about. How can light live with darkness? Josh, that's that scripture that you were sharing in John. How can light... The light is either on or it's dark in here. Mm-hmm. It's not a little light on, but it's still dark. It's either light or dark. And there he says, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? And I think what's happening, Melissa, back to what you were talking about, living to please ourselves. What happens is we're living to please ourselves. We got ourselves in a mess. We're about to get caught, or something bad's about to happen to us. Oh, I got to get in church. I need to get in church. And so we get in church and start using God sort of like a spare tire. God, help me as I live to please myself. And it says here that there's not a partnership between unbelief and belief. There's not a partnership between light and darkness. And we just got to understand that.
Absolutely.
In Hebrews 12, 14 through 17, the Message version, I use several different translations, but in the Message, it says to keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent.
Mm-hmm.
A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy short-term appetite. And, you know, when we don't make those clear choices every time a thought comes in your mind, or every time, you know, we want to satisfy that immediate craving of the flesh, we're trading our blessings.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Josh, talk say what you were just telling about your marriage, your just enjoying your
So a lot of times this holiness kind of gets a bad rap, kind of is like God's trying to take all my fun away. Like, I want to live to please myself. is how many people think. Well, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. All Christianity is, God doesn't come and ask us to live holy because he's trying to take our fun away.
Yeah,
it's actually the opposite. God actually, he's the designer, he's the creator of life, so he knows the best way for it to work. And so he's actually calling us into a holy lifestyle because he's calling us into more peace and more joy than we thought imaginable. And I was sharing with Pastor Tim earlier, me and Sarah were laying in the bed the other night. And
that would just be his wife.
My wife, Sarah. just Good with point. Tears in my eyes, I was just like, babe, I didn't know that marriage could be this amazing. I didn't know that it could be this incredible. I didn't know that being a dad could be this awesome. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that... I'm sorry, I'm getting teary-eyed. But Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly.
Yes.
And when we follow his ways, that we can actually walk in resurrection life, that we actually can have heaven invade our homes. We can have heaven invade our workplaces, that we can actually bring his kingdom here to earth in our families. And it's an amazing thing. And so it's not that he's trying to take our fun away. It's that he actually knows, God knows what real pleasure is.
Absolutely.
And real pleasure isn't instant gratification that leads to destruction. Real pleasure is this eternal feeling, this amazing, incredible peace and joy and love that I didn't even know degrees of were possible until I started walking out this life that he called me to live.
And the devil doesn't have any new tricks.
He does.
It's the same thing over and over. But Genesis chapter 3, he comes to Adam and Eve and says, God is holding something from you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, God knows. See, he's holding fun from you. He's holding pleasure from you. So every kid grows up thinking, I got to get out of my home. I'm going to get out here and live a little. I just want to get out here and have some fun. And what they don't understand is you're into your own destruction. Mm-hmm. And the reason God doesn't want you eating of that is because he knows what it will produce in your life. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's trying to ruin your
life.
I mean, you would not have that feeling sleeping with somebody different every night.
No.
You would not have the feeling of enjoyment that you are having, and that's what God wants for. That's what God wants for us.
Yeah, so you're experiencing the fruit of a holy marriage. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah 4:3 says, "Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns." And so, Melissa and I both enjoy gardening. Yeah. And so when you cultivate the soil, you get rid of all of the weeds and before you start putting your seeds into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when we are willing to break away all of those extra thorns and thistles out of our life, Christ can cultivate the soil to allow the fruit that we have sown to be produced.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
He's our reward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't just out here, we're just trying to live this life to please this God or these millions of God. Like, this is a relationship with somebody who's completely invested in us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're sitting in your chair right now because he thought about you and it was a good idea. And he said, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and make you. I'm going to name you Jeff and I'm going to put you in this family. And like, this was a thought out plan of the Father and he's invested completely.
Oh, that's good.
So when he says, come away from the world and be like me, be a temple, I want to fill you up. Like, these are all powerful, really good things. And this is just a thought. In Philippians, it says, about living a life that's pleasing and worthy of the gospel. And it says, whether I live or whether I die, I will honor the Lord. And I understand the way we die honors the Lord and we live with him. But one thought I had was, what if I die today and someone has to go to my house and go through my stuff and figure out what's on my phone and pull out all of my notes? Is that going to prove a lifestyle that was worthy of the gospel of Christ? Are they going to find out stuff that was probably I didn't want anyone to know and I was living a lifestyle in my secret life, my private life?
Wow.
Was that glorifying the Lord or not?
Yeah.
Or did they find out, she actually gave money to this person or she invested in this person or the opposite? So that right there is even a lifestyle.
So just a quick little thought I want to add on to that. One thing I tell my young people all the time is, you want to know what real freedom is? Don't have any secrets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what real freedom? Don't have any secrets. And then I tell them, what you do in the secret place, what you do when nobody else is around, that's the real God that you worship.
Well, that's so true.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. When the phone rings, do you have to be the first one to it?
That's so good.
When a text comes, do you have to grab it before anybody else sees it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's freedom. That's freedom.
Yep.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Well, the Bible's hard to understand, isn't it? I mean, it's just hard for me to really understand what it's saying.
Complex.
Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Mm-hmm. Melissa, that's what you were talking about earlier. There is a thought of a heathen, and then mm-hmm. there's the thought of a Christian, and you don't live like, or you don't think like that anymore.
Right.
Was that all you wanted to say about it?
There's a tension between reality. So if we're positionally made right with the Lord right now, but we're still in the process of becoming like him, that's kind of like a tension between two realities. I still have sin knocking at my door, wanting me to give in to these lustful temptations, but there's still the power of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2, it says, there's encouragement that comes from belonging to Jesus Christ. There is comfort from his love. There is fellowship with the Spirit. So he's not asking you to do this on your own. He's actually empowering you and giving you everything you need. 2 Peter 1 says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness through knowing Jesus Christ, that you take on his divine nature and escape the lust of the world. So absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Kim?
Romans 6 and 4 talks about how we are empowered mm-hmm. to walk in the freshness of new life because we died and were buried with Christ by baptism.
Right.
But then in 12, in the Passion Translation, it says that sin is a dethroned monarch.
That's good. You
must no longer give it opportunity to rule over your life, mm-hmm. controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings, that we don't have to give into those things now mm-hmm. because we have been empowered and sin has been dethroned.
That's so good. And so 1 Thessalonians goes on to say, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifestyle. Josh, you mentioned this. But for those of us who have to hear it, like I've told you 1,000 times, for those of us who need to hear it again, go back over that positional thing. Kim mentioned it. You mentioned it, the positional truth and then the progressive.
Right.
Explain that a little bit more for
right.
me.
Whenever you get saved, whenever you surrender your heart to the Lord, there is this justification that takes place, is how Romans talks about it. And basically the gavel falls. And we are declared innocent. We are
and
declared
that's positional.
Not guilty. I'm made holy. I'm made right. I get the righteousness of Christ, which means I have right standing with the Father. Because of what Jesus did, I have right standing with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
There is a positional holiness, and that's how God sees me, that old things have passed away, that all things have become new, that I'm a new creation. But now there is this learning what pleases God. There is this denying myself, crucifying my flesh, and really learning how to truly be dead to myself and be alive in him. There now where I have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word metanoia really actually means to change the way that you think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to walk in ongoing repentance and changing the way that I think about everything as I become more and more like him. And many times it's... You know, I've seen it happen to a few people where they just, you know, just like that, like bam, it's a miracle. But many times for most of us, we don't know the way that God thinks. And so we have to begin to learn the way that he thinks through relationship with him, through studying his word, through other mm-hmm. people. You know, 2 Timothy 2:22 says to flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness along with those who pursue God with
That's
a pure
so
heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so with prayer, with the word, with a church body calling me to a higher standard and teaching me, okay, you don't say that, you don't act this way, you don't do that, you do this instead. And it's learning how to become more like him, how to bear the image of Christ, because when I got saved, I may not have known.
Mm-hmm.
If that
right.
makes
sure.
sense.
Right.
That's clear up, Melissa.
That's so good. We were talking about earlier, and I'm just going to go ahead and go there. When Zach was playing the piano mm-hmm. And he was learning how to do that, like you said, you didn't get angry at him when he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. And when Micah starts walking, you don't slap him because
right.
he can't walk yet. But we can settle into this place. Okay, I really know Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And you can kind of settle into that place. But the Lord's calling you for greater
yes.
things. He's calling you to go deeper. And
That's
he wants
good.
You to do like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony
yeah.
or something. I'm not a piano person.
Right.
But like there's so much greater he calls us into it, an invitation. And it's actually for his joy. And at the end of the day when he says, okay, well done, good and faithful servant. He says, enter the joy of your master. So it's like a reward is his presence. To being with him is his mm-hmm. presence. It's a gift from
yeah,
him.
I think that's good. He wants to take us from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants to take us from one step of his goodness to the next step of his goodness. Like there's more and more that he wants to give to us. And it's not just staying in the simple twinkle, twinkle, little star, but he actually wants heaven to invade our lives. He actually wants
mm-hmm.
us to build his kingdom, which is incredible. And it may start as simple, but it gets better and better and better and better.
That's right.
So I like these panels. I'd never think about Twinkle Little Star in Beethoven's Symphony. But man, I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think of the title of my next sermon. It's either going to be Twinkle Star or Beethoven Symphony or In Between. What a great example. Kim, I'm thinking about a sermon I'm writing. You go ahead and talk a while.
Yeah, okay. You just take your notes over there. One of the songs, is I was sitting backstage this morning and just watching the words come across the screen. You know, when you're back here, it looks a little different than when you're out there. But I was looking at the words, and I got so emotional and overwhelmed by the words. And so I jotted just a few of the phrases down. It says, I was breathing, but not alive. Wow. All my failures I tried to hide until I met you. And you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. And so that is that freedom, that very special gift. And in Romans 22 and 23, it says, but now you are free from the power of sin, and you have become slaves of God. Now that you do those things that lead to holiness, suggesting that we actually do something to lead to holiness, and that result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And the Amplified Version calls that gift of God, and I think this might be the grace scripture that you were talking about a little while ago. It describes it as his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers. And so when we see that freedom that we get through that overwhelming, remarkable gift, then we're able to align our lives that way, to continue through the maturity process.
And me and Melissa were talking in between services about the example of playing the piano is amazing. And just a thought that I had that I just want to give to our church. It's real easy being in the Bible Belt area. Many of us grow up in church, and so we know the rights and the wrongs our whole life. And many times we get the attitude of, well, I know how to play Beethoven's Symphony, and somebody gets saved and they don't know how to play it, and we get angry at them.
Right.
We get mad at them because you're not as good of a Christian as I am. And so I just want to warn us that it's the goodness of God, and we've got to have grace for people as we're walking them out in this holiness lifestyle. And we don't write them off. We don't kick them out. We don't whatever because they fell down.
Right.
Well, you may have been saved 30 years, and they may have been saved for 2 months.
Yeah.
And so we've got to walk them through this holiness process and not just be like, well, I'm done with you because you can't get it. Well, it's going to take us a while to get to where we can play the keys like this. It's not going to do any good to get mad at them because their behavior may not look as good as mine. You know, God is doing a work on the inside of them, we want to help and encourage and pull that out of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great.
And oftentimes not to look at the behavior. So if we're in community, and someone said 2 Timothy, where we're supposed to be pursuing the Lord in community and doing this together, and Paul is the one that's coming in as a leader and teaching us. If we're doing that in community, it can be easy to just like look at someone's behavior, but instead, what's the heart? Like, what causes them to go to that same sin? What causes them to do this? And just pull and to reveal character of God and reveal identity and go back to your greatest calling in life is to be a son of God, is to be a daughter of God. And if you can't get that right, you're always going to mess up in every other area. Mm-hmm. But go back to the basics, even in mentorship, community, and discipleship.
I'm getting it together in my head. Beethoven's Symphony is not negative.
That's right.
You know, the thing that I want to continue to go over, and I think I do, because holiness is such a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, don't do that. And that's the whole wrong portrayal. Mm-hmm. God's not mad at you for playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, but he has so much more out here for you.
That's it.
And it's a progression of a lifestyle here, and it's positive. It's not negative.
Amazing,
don't do this, don't do that, don't. We're not talking about that. We want you to live blessed, and you can't live blessed pursuing that.
Right.
Well, I think you can't live blessed. Also, if you don't truly grasp the concept of what Jesus doing on the cross was enough.
One scripture that I have,
Hebrews 10 says, and by that will that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's just that simple. You know, under the law, there were not enough sacrifices that they could have done to remove sin. Mm-hmm. But what Jesus did for us on the cross removed that sin. So I think that sometimes people get kind of buried under the fact that their past can't be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I checked 5 different translations, and they all said the same thing. Once for all sacrifice, once for all, once and for all, mm-hmm. once for all time. I mean, to me, that covers it. Once mm-hmm. we have accepted Christ as our Savior and what he did for us on the cross, that is enough. Mm-hmm. That's our clean
That's
slate to begin
That's
living
right.
a holy
That's
life.
So good. That's good. So good. The cross good. Of Jesus Christ brings us to the place of that right relationship with the Lord, and we can try and get the law out, and we can try and follow every single jot and tittle or whatever it is and keep the law, and it will only produce death every single time. But because his work on the cross is enough,
yeah.
I, in response, want to live a lifestyle that pleases him. I want to make my Father happy. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. That mm-hmm. makes me hurt when he hurts. And this is a different way that we're thinking, but because his cross is enough, I can pursue Jesus with a pure heart by the Holy Spirit's power and live a holy lifestyle and it not be under the law of trying to make sure everything happens, because I can't ever do that.
Man, mm-hmm. that's a great word for us. I love these panels. I just love panel Sunday, but boy, they sure do go by fast. I mean, you run out of time and we're just have y'all help me thank our host up here for being with us on panel Sunday. Let me close with Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove, you judge my heart, or you judge me, or you judge. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and you've turned to God. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't read anywhere in the Bible that God allows us to choose alternative lifestyles.
Right.
He has set out a lifestyle for us that will bring blessings in life and open the windows of heaven for us. And it's just vital for us to live blessed that we understand that. I want to make sure that we all understand not only our discussion today, but our theme for this year being a holy generation. I want to make sure everybody knows this is not a negative message. Mm. In fact, it's quite opposite.
Right.
It is a very positive message. And the great news and the point of our church's theme this year is there is a lifestyle that brings tremendous blessings from the Lord. And we in this church want you living a blessed life. Y'all stand with me.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, today we are grateful to you. Lord, we're grateful to you for your grace and your mercy in those times when we mess up. But Lord, it's our heart today that we pursue a holy lifestyle, and that we pursue a life that brings blessings and peace and joy that only come from you. Lord, direct us and guide us as we lean on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.